Bless
your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord.
Hey,
you know,
Spirit is goodness, purpose,
Jesus.
Freedom.
just going to look down where it says Judas the Spirit, chapter 4. We're just going to read that, and I think we can see just that part in for our scripture reading. So down at the second half of the front page. We're going to look at a little scripture, but we just want to read this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, the American Standard Bible, 1995, reads, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to man." Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except for that he also had descended into the lowest parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also who ascended far above all heaven, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saint, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed by the reading of God's holy word. Keep that sheet out. We're on our series again, our daily series, trying to examine and explore the beliefs of our local church, and so that we can all be in unity, in agreement, on living those beliefs out. Amen. Today I want to talk from the subject, Christ's Church. Christ's Church. The church that belongs to Christ.
All right.
Now if you have our belief statement, there's two pages. First one has five things on it. The second one has, we believe, three times. I'm on one that has a three. Amen. I think most of you got it last week. If you didn't get it last week, raise your hand. Raise your hand and Brother Carter will bring it to you. If you didn't get it last week. All right. Most of you got it last week. Ran out last week. We got a few more. All right, now if you look at that, it reads, this is what we believe about the church. That's what we're on today, the church. We believe the church, the body and bride of Christ, is a spiritual organism made up of all persons who have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation in the present age. We believe the church began at Pentecost, is distinct from Israel, and that a belief is placed into the church by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. All members of the universal church are to be fully engaged in the local church, where they can be nurtured and equipped for the work of the ministry. Christ Church. Let's begin by looking at what the church is. Church, that word in the Bible that's translated church, was first a Greek word, ekklesia. Ekklesia, ek means out of, ek in the Greek means out of, ekklesia means called. We are called out of. Ecclesia is composed of the people that God has called out of the world unto himself.
Right.
Amen. And they have placed their trust, their faith in him and become his followers. That word was first used in the Roman Empire when the city or a group would come together representing the cities and take care of the affairs of the city. God has called us out of the world into the church that we will be about the business of God's kingdom. That's why he called us out. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light, that as believers we can be about the building and be involved and with him and the kingdom of God. He wants to bring that heavenly kingdom here on earth while we're here, and one day, even when he comes back, we'll find the fullness of his kingdom. So we are the called out ones. We've been called out of the world to Christ, and that's seen when we place our trust in our faith and become followers of Christ. Even in what we just read in the first chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. You see that? The calling with which you have been called. We've been called out of the world to be, amen, his ambassadors, his representatives, and we are heaven representatives on earth.
Right.
Amen. That's what we are. So people should be able to look at our lives and see some of the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. That's why he said, walk worthy. He said, walk worthy. I'm calling you to do something. Now I need you to walk worthy of the calling. I've given you responsibility, and it's an important and significant responsibility. So I need you to live your life in a way, amen, that you accept that responsibility and live it out.
Yeah.
That's what the church does. We have a responsibility to order our life and to live our life in a way worthy of the responsibility that he laid upon us to show earth what heaven looks like.
Amen.
Are you living your life to show earth what heaven looks like? What God's economy looks like? It's the first coming up. It won't be perfect, but it ought to be progressively getting closer and closer and closer to what heaven looks like.
Amen. Right.
That's what the church is. We are called out.
Right.
Called out. And we're here to represent him. We are like an ambassador. Most countries have an American or a U.S. embassy.
Right.
Now, even though the U.S. embassy may be in the middle of Japan, but it's still considered the United States.
Right.
Amen. If you're in Japan, you can make it to the embassy.
Right.
Once you're inside the embassy gate, then you're back in the USA, even though you're still in Japan.
Wow.
And that's where God's ambassador, we are his embassy, the church of God's embassy, amen, in the world. We bring heaven, wherever we are, we bring heaven to that place. Y'all understand? That's what the church. So we need to walk worthy of that, because we've been called to do that. Now, let's look at the first. Look at Matthew 16 and 18. This is a popular. If you've been in church a while, you know this is where Jesus was asking the disciples who the man think I am, and they gave the different answers. And then Peter said that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, I think that verse 18, y'all can look around it. Verse 18 says, when Jesus responded back to Peter, I also said to you that you are Jesus said to Peter, after Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm putting my faith in that fact. And then Jesus said, well, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said, I'm going to build my church with people who have put their faith in me as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Savior. I'm going to build my church upon them. But Peter means little rock, church. Amen. He said, hey, you're going to be like a big stone. I'm going to build my church with people who have put their faith in me. So, number one, my first point is the church is built by and belongs to Christ.
Amen.
The church is built by, and belongs to Christ. He said, upon this rock. That rock statement is a big rock. Peter is about, when Peter's name means small rock, when it's used that rock in that term, it means a big rock. So I'm taking a lot of little rocks and I'm going to make a big rock. That's the family of the church. People that put their faith, that's what I'm going to build a church out of. People that put their faith in me. I'm going to make them a mass. Now, he said, I will build, who church is going to be?
My church.
Who built?
My church. Christ.
Christ said, I will build, and it's going to be my church. Now, what's going to happen? Some have stole Christ's church.
Amen. It's true.
Now, we make Christ's church often. What we do, we make Christ's church our church. Well, how do we make Christ's church our church, Pastor? It's Christ's church as long as, because when something belongs to somebody, you ask them how to use it. Call along, have along. If you want somebody else out of their house, you know, you didn't have your house. So you have to make sure you're in accordance with the owner of the house.
Right.
When we come to church, we just want to have church like we want to have church.
Okay.
We want to do what we want to do.
All right.
Amen. When we become his church, we're his church. We're his church. When we gather, and even when we're separately, but especially when we're together, we just want to do what we would have to do, rather than what he's asked us to do in being ambassadors. When you do it your way, you took his church and made it your church. When the gatherings are, when believers, amen, were the church, decided they're going to live their life that they don't, like they want to live it, it ceases to be his church, and now it's your church because you do what you want to do. Stole from Christ's control. He's the head of the church. But we didn't move him out. He said, we're going to do our own thing. Y'all need to come with me. I know it's hard to come down this trail.
Okay.
But it's a trail we all need to come down. My brothers and sisters, the reason why I'm here today, because this is serious business. This is serious business. What we see, I see seeping in, even to our church. And so we have to be careful. Because what's seeping in, Christ wants us to be the church. But sometimes you'll see seeping in what I call churches. You know, like blackish? Sometimes I see churches. I mean, you like the church. You kind of favor the church. You're similar to the church. We will come to churches rather than the church. The church that God designed, his church that he built and belongs to him, we to some people, especially our culture, they look at us because we come to the building and because we wear a Christian kind of shirt and call ourselves Christians, and they see the Christianness of us, or the churchness of us. But Christ said, they don't look like my church. They're not the church that I built. And the one that belonged to me. Matter of fact, I'm so uncomfortable with it, I need to go outside and tell them to let me in again. penetrating the temple over. So it's much that Christ is standing at the door knocking, saying, will y'all let me back in and I'll sup with you and I'll have fellowship with you? That's amazing in itself. Is he saying that to your life? Yes, you go to church Sunday. Most of you going out of habit because you're not taking seriously the song, the preaching, the fellowship. You just going because it's a traditional thing that you do. You just going because you're in a certain position. You just going because it's customary with your family. You going because of the connections you can make in church. But you're not really there about me. You're not really there to worship me or to do the thing that I would have you do. You're not really part of the church to be an ambassador for me. Amen. And to bring my embassy to wherever you work or wherever you play or your neighborhood. You're not there for that. You're church-ish. But I need a church in a day like this. I don't need church-ish. I need a church. I need the church that I paid for, that I built, and the one that belongs to me. I need my church in time like these.
Yeah. Amen.
Right, I build my church. We might need that church because, amen, all hell is breaking loose.
It's true.
Against the world and the church. But in my church is the power that the gates of hell will not prevail against you.
It's true.
So when all hell is coming against, amen, your neighborhood, all hell is coming against your school, your family, your marriage, when all hell is breaking loose, you need the church.
Yes.
All right. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Mm. Now when it means that don't mean we're on the defense. It means hell is on the defense. But even as they hell lock the gates, they don't let the church come in this area. But Jesus said, hey, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys.
Yeah.
Hell, so you can't have it. Amen. Maybe there's somebody in your family and they caught up and it seems like you can't get through to them.
Yeah.
Because hell locked the gates. But Peter, the church, got the keys.
Yeah.
More than one key. Because there's a whole lot of different gates. But he gives us the authority to open the gates. And the gates of hell can't stay closed when the church is on its way coming in. When the church want to come in, hell can't resist it.
Yeah.
Don't miss that powerful truth. Victory, that's what he promises us.
Yeah.
Victory, the gates of hell can't prevail against you.
Amen.
He promises us victory. We are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Because sometimes it don't seem like you can get through. Some situations don't seem like you can. I just can't get through this. I just can't make this happen.
Right.
But you got to, because you're part of the church. Keys to be authority.
Amen.
You got authority. Because when you got a key, you got authority to get. If somebody gives you a key, they give you an authority to get in that thing. Amen. When I go to the bank, I'm going to say the deposit box, they got a key, but they can't get into it without my key because they don't have my authority. So they got to have my key with me. You got my authority. Now open it up. So keys mean authority. We have authority as believers. That when it seems like hell is in control, to attack that thing and bring it under God's authority. Y'all with me?
Amen.
So sometimes parents that school your child, you need to go and pray at that school. Say, hey, I know there's a lot of stuff going on here, but I'm gonna bring this thing here under Christ's authority.
Amen.
Amen. I'm gonna pray some stuff right here. Amen. Because this thing. The teachers can only go so far that they believe. But my prayer and God, amen, will answer my prayer. I'm just trying to get y'all, because a lot of times we have I got the keys on my chain now. I don't even know what the keys go to.
That's true.
You know, we have a lot of keys because you've been year after year after year. So when you get, you done moved and changed cars, you still got, you said, now, I don't know about boy, I maybe have like 10 kids, man. I know about 3 of them go through. Rest of them, I just hold on because I might need them one day. I just take that off and then it might come from. A lot of times we got kids, we got authority, and we don't use it because we forget what we have. So, how do I know how to use it? Because the promise is in the scripture. What God says in the scripture. If God says in the scripture, if it's promised to you in scripture, then you got the authority to claim that promise in that situation. And God will move on your behalf. If you ask him that according to my will,
yes.
I do. Pretty. So keep that in mind. You don't realize how powerful our church is. So first thing, the church is built by and belongs to Christ. There's a promise of victory. Secondly, the church is the body of Christ. I said first, built by, belong to Christ. Secondly, the church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Just like our body. Christ needs a body. Sometimes it's also said we are his feet, we are his hands. He uses our body. He makes our bodies his bodies. So we can serve this world. We are the body of Christ. And because we're the body of Christ, all of us have importance. Amen. I can't say to the ear, I don't need you. I can't say, I just don't see a need for you.
All right.
I don't see it because the eye needs the ear.
It's true.
The ear can't say that you ain't that important. I ain't even hearing that.
All right then.
All parts of the body are significant and important if the body is to carry out what it's designed to do for. Every believer has gifts and been gifted by God, and you play a role in his church. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose for your life and for you to live out.
Amen.
So we're all part of his body. Now, 3 things he stresses in these scriptures. Number 1, he stresses unity. The body got to work in unity.
Amen.
Can't no part of the body just want to do what they want to do.
Amen.
Now, what if, you imagine that? You got 2 legs. Now, one leg does what the head says.
Okay.
And that other leg just want to do what they want to do.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? Can you get anywhere? Other leg is going, you can't even walk, so the other leg going, because he got his own mind. The only way you can really get somewhere is both legs in unity and cooperation walking under the leadership of the head or the mind. Y'all see what I'm saying?
That's true.
Amen. So you got to have consistency. Because if any member is not cooperation, we have to have unity in the church. To move, we got to move. Because, wait a minute, we've all been baptized into the same body. We all got one spirit, one Lord. That Lord is speaking to us and gave us his word of what we should do. We have to have unity. The reason why sometimes we're not unified is because we're not being governed by the word of God. You go by the word of God, it'll bring more unity. More unity. Now, it still may not be perfect unity because sometimes we interpret certain passages differently, but there will be a lot more unity as we get into the word. So, the first thing, we need to maintain unity.
Right.
Maintain unity also means that, yes, all of us fail sometimes. All of us offend each other from time to time. So, in order to have unity, we got to have a whole lot of mercy, a whole lot of grace, and a whole lot of forgiveness. We got to forgive. Same way, because that's what God has done. See, I can forgive pretty easy because God forgave me so much stuff. I'm kind of gracious because I know how gracious he has been to put up with me. When you realize how good, how gracious, how merciful, how forgiving God has been to you, you can be that same to others. And that helps you keep the unity. Unity is about God helping you to even to communicate effectively and lovingly. All those things you got to do to maintain the unity. He said, hey, if you got something against your brother, hey, before you get in your offer, but I don't want your offer right now because you got something against your brother. Go to your brother and get that thing fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
Then bring me your worship.
Amen.
Well, I know.
Amen.
I know this type, but it's right.
It's the word.
Yeah. Amen. You got to, hey, because you don't want nothing between you and your brother. Hey, you need to go and try to get it right. At least on you can do your part. You can't always get it right because sometimes the other person's not going cooperate in that. But you do all you can to maintain the unity of the church. Now that's easy. You see, that's easier than Eastern, in the Eastern society over in Asia, because they are more group family centered. They're all about the group. They're all about the family and the society and the tribe. In America and in the West Europe, we're all about the individual. We want our individual rights. My rights. I want what I think is best for me. More in the East, it's more about the family and the group and the tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
So we become a little bit more selfish.
Amen.
In our American our American way of thinking. Amen. So that's why you see all that. See people that I will do that, but I want my right. I'm free.
Right.
Don't realize how your freedom and the misuse, irresponsible use of your freedom affects others. All right, y'all with me so far?
Amen.
So that's we're about it. Now, so first he said maintain the unity. I'm going to go quickly all that he's saying in chapter 4. After he talks about maintaining unity, he also talks about you need to get involved in ministry. You got your work, God gave you some gifts, gave you a purpose, gave you a plan. You need to be involved in ministry. So first he talks about unity, then he talks about ministry. Amen. God has given us gifts. We need to take those gifts to minister to people. And all of us play different roles.
Yeah.
Some of us are the arms, some of us are the hands, some of us are the eyes, some of us are the legs. Whatever part you play that makes the church strong and makes the church grow, you play your part. You need to be, amen, playing your part, whether you're at home, you play your part. Now, we do need to congregate from time to time together, amen, as much as possible. But even when we're not congregation, not coming together physically or present, you need to still be doing your job. From your home, using the phone, going and visiting other people, amen. They're like the businesses. When you couldn't go to the business, when you could not go to the business, they will come to you. Amen. You can get your order to go. So what we got to do, amen, when people can't come to us, we have to have Bethsaida to go.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you can't order it by Uber, but we do have Bethsaida to go. Amen. We can bring it to you. We can bring it to you online on the website. We can bring it to you in cars. And people will meet you somewhere. We can decide you at a restaurant. Amen. One-on-one. We can go to the park where there's ventilation. You can sit at one end of the bench. I sit at the other end of the bench. But we have best say to go. So when you can't get to us, we can get to you.
Amen.
We can't be here. But that's what he told us to go.
Amen.
Go. Go you therefore into all the world. He called us out. So we can go out. Y'all hear? He called us out so we can go out. He called us out just when we come in the church.
Right.
He called us out so we can go out. Therefore,
sure.
Amen.
Sure.
Go into all the world, making disciples. Baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them all things I've taught you. So, that's what we want to do. So, first, unity. Second, ministry. All right? Thirdly, when you got unity and you got ministry going on, it helps all of us reach maturity.
All right.
ministry happens in three ways. Number one, and the most important way, we minister to God. That's worship. You minister to God, that's worship. Don't miss that. Ministry, three things. We minister to God in worship. Secondly, we minister. We minister to each other. That's why it's good to come to the gathering. But even if you ain't gathering, I'm glad we got phones and other ways to contact. We minister to each other. We call that fellowship. Okay. We minister to God. That's what? We minister to each other. That's what? Fellowship. Amen. Like two fellows in the ship. You're going through the same thing together. So you're there to encourage one another. Amen. You're going through the same thing together. You better encourage one another. Now, in fellowship, let me tell you something about fellowship. True fellowship. True fellowship takes grace and truth. Takes grace and truth. Because when you have true fellowship, what happens? You find two, three, small group of people that you trust. You know, won't be telling your name all down the boulevard. You find about two or three people that you trust. And that when you find somebody you can trust, you can be truth. You can share with them your truth. Truth means not only the good you, not only the at-church you, but the struggling and sometimes falling, the failure. Truth is part of fellowship, but not just truth. Because you don't want the people you share your truth with gotta have grace. You don't want to share truth with people that don't have grace. We say, I'm struggling, I'm falling, I failed at this, I'm not good at this. I've heard this. And also when you share a positive thing, you want somebody there that say, okay, encourage me. And you want somebody there that can also hold you accountable. Everybody hear that? Amen. You want somebody. Amen. You want somebody in the church, in a small group of two or three, that can hold you accountable. That you can say, hey, when I'm going off the track, when you see me doing something that's not pleasing to God, when you see me walking in the wrong way, when you see me on the way to disaster, you can pull me aside and say to me as gently and carefully as possible, man, you're headed in the wrong way.
Amen.
I love you. I love you with everything I got.
Amen.
But you're headed in the wrong way, man. You got to make some changes in your life.
Amen.
This is not you. You got so much more to offer the kingdom. And the enemy is after you because he knows what God has put in you.
Yeah.
He's afraid of you because he knows what God has put in you. And he's afraid if you let him out what God has put in you, that the impact you would have on his kingdom. And I know you love God, but you're headed right now in the wrong direction. And because that person knows you really love them, you got grace, and you're not going to think any less of them, they'll listen to it. They may not listen right at that moment, but when they walk away, they may be a little company, might be a little hesitant, but they will keep thinking about it. And say, wait a minute, yeah, he loves me. He's got my best interest. Maybe I need to listen to that. And then that person, who just told you they were praying for it.
Okay.
And they were. And the good thing, if you're in that position where somebody has shared their struggles, sins, and failures with you, after you kind of, or you see them, and you share what you see, right after that, don't wait too long. Do something encouraging and talk about the great things so they'll know there's no negative that came out of your relationship. You're trying to love them, get Y'all with me? I got a little. I know that's not, but that's part of fellowship. That's part of being the church, and not just church is. Church is to let go. They let you act crazy and kill yourself. Church is to see the sniper right by you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. See the snake. What did you tell you? Snake on your leg.
Watch it.
And they laugh at you. That's church is. But when you're the church, you're looking out for one another. Now, the only thing I tell you, you got to get about 3 or 4, but like, most times you don't only mess with 3 or 4 people. It's kind of, you know, you want to get too many, but the 3 or 4 people, 3 or 4 people, and those small group of people you trust and know you, hey, they keep it right. That's what church is about. They can keep it right. So that's part of fellowship one time. And thirdly, I talked about worship, fellowship. And thirdly, that we minister to the world outside of discipleship. We're discipling them. So worship, fellowship, when we minister to one another, when we minister to the world, the lost world, that's discipleship. We're trying to make disciples who make disciples. That's discipleship.
Amen.
So all of that is part of being involved in ministry. And then as we do that, we become more mature. So that's what we got. We have unity, ministry that leads to maturity. We'll become mature in Christ. And the reason why we want to be mature in Christ, because the enemy has schemes and traps and deception. And when you're not mature in Christ, he will lead you astray.
It's true.
Maturity helps you to stand like a strong tree. Amen. You shouldn't be like leaves when the wind comes and blow you everywhere. But like one of the strong trees, I think we saw a tree, maybe it was 600 years old a couple days ago. And you can tell that because of the birth of that tree, it's not going to easily be moved.
Amen.
That's what maturity is. Maturity, all kinds of trees get done, but you ain't going to be moved because you know
it. Yeah.
You know what God has done for you. You know about God. You know what the word of God has said. Lastly, I said, the church was built by and belonged to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the church is the body of Christ.
Right.
And lastly, the church is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And that's in Ephesians 5. I think it's on the back sheet. And it talks about it. It's talking about Paul is this. They're talking to spirit-filled people. Spirit-filled people are controlled by the Spirit.
Right.
People who not just people who the Spirit is resident in, but people whom the Spirit is president of. And he's saying, when you feel the Spirit, you're going to talk about singing the same song, you know, and have joy, about the joy of the Lord filling you, how you treat one another, submit to one another, you know, wife submit to the husband, then the husband love the wife like Christ loved the church. Now, turn it on the back to the wife, finish it at that point. Ephesians 5:25-20 says, husband, love your wife, just as Christ loved, also love the church. And get, husband, don't you love your wife like this? This is my example. Christ said, this is the example. Our Holy Spirit said, this is the example. Her love like Christ, love the church, and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself the church, all in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. The bride of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now listen, the fact that we were built by and belong to Christ, we get the victory. The fact that we are body of Christ, we can experience, unity and ministry and then maturity. But now the fact that we are bride of Christ is all about our purity. Because he's talking about how Christ washes his body with the word.
Yeah.
Same with a husband in biblical time. Leaders of the family, use the word, amen, to cleanse their family. And let their family know what things were pleasing to God, what things were not, what things they needed to get out. people have seen those that our church is. And they proclaim Christ, but because they are churches and not the church where they're. But when you're in the church, and when you go through that process of ministry and maturing, I'm not saying you're going to struggle at all. But we don't stay down.
Amen.
We get back up. When we find ourselves the wrong, we repent and turn around. We make another U-turn. We'll keep doing it until we get it right. Till God bless us, the right people, right spirit, right resources. And we refuse to live in a state that displeases God, because it hurts us in our hearts and in our being.
Yes.
And the Spirit won't let us rest until we get that thing right.
Amen.
But when you're churches, you believe.
It don't bother you, preacher.
In an unrepentant manner, knowing you're doing something that don't please God.
Amen.
Well,
that's true anyway.
This church, I know y'all respect all that. But I'm trying to get us. Don't go for church east. We got to be part of the church.
Amen.
Being part of the church means you can get victories. You have the victory. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Being part of the church is when we walk in unity and when we're involved in ministry, we are brought to maturity. And then when we're brought to maturity, because we're also his bride, we will be a practice purity.
Amen.
Because we wash up with his word. The time we speak in his word, we'll see our father. We say, come on, Lord. We say, Lord, I need strength. But the thing that your Bible says I should be doing,
yeah.
The thing that the scripture forbids,
yeah.
The thing that says hurts your heart, I've been involved in. So now I need your strength.
Amen.
I need your strength to turn around. Because I'm trying to win the world. I'm the ambassador. I'm representing the kingdom. So I got to live worthy of my calling. You're calling me to do something. I got to live worthy of my calling.
Yeah.
I got to live worthy of your calling. You're calling me to do something. I got to be worthy of it. If you call me a mother, live worthy of being a mother. You call me a father, live worthy of that thing. Whatever God is going to call you to teach, be a teacher that's living worthy of the teacher. Whatever he puts you in, with your gift in this, live worthy of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even as an employee, you're worthy of it. You're a business owner, live worthy of it. Don't have a shady business.
Not a shady business.
You're a Christian in this. Study robbing for
it. Don't
cheating for it.
Amen, be honest.
Ooh.
Well, that's enough for today.
Amen.
I guess, yeah. But y'all know, I'm talking about, I know y'all think I was talking about the church like that. But remember, the church was built by and belonged to Christ.
Yeah.
Which is great news, because that means we can get victory. Because he built us a victory. We built to win.
Yeah, amen.
Ain't about it. Sin is to keep you from winning.
That's true. Amen.
But we built to win. And not to build his body, because we're his body. We need to walk in unity.
Yeah.
We need to be involved in ministry. And then we'll reach maturity. Mm-hmm. And last, because we're a bride of Christ, he's washing us so that we can exhibit purity.
Amen.
That's what the church is about. Don't be church-ish. Be the church.
Amen.
Super musician, give a little something. I want to steal the privilege. Do you hear me? You need to be part of the church. You've never been a part of it. A church, but you need to be a part of the church. You need to get privilege. Be a part of our local body. Glad to have you be a part of our local body. Man, you need to be part of the universal church so when you come back again.
Yeah, that's true.
The changed life that you have,
yeah.
It'll make you different.
Yes, it will.
It'll make you different. You live a changed life. I pray that if you're here, and you've got to be churchish, this is your morning to come back to the right track. Say, Lord, I've got to be churchish, but I want to be back in a church the way you, that pleases you. I want to live my life, a life that pleases you. Then I know it's your church, because I'm living for you, and I'm letting you be Lord.
Yeah.
That's what I want, Lord. So if you want that, the Lord wants you to have it. You know you are on in some way. The day is your day to get that right. The day is your day to determine, are you going to live with Christ or not? serious business. This ain't no play thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Say it. Right. Say, Father, I've got one thing for you. I've been out of order, but I'm coming back in order. If I can do what you told me to do.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid to be out of order and still, amen, living like I want to live. And then come in every first Sunday when communion is given. Could be a dangerous thing. Could be a dangerous thing. Even if it's not communion, I mean, just don't live for him. Live for God.
Yeah.
He's worth living for. He gave his life for you. What are you giving to him? He don't want your leftovers. He wants your best of yourself.
Yeah.
Your commitment in every area of your life.
Thank you.
joining us. Pray that as we talk about the church and what should be the Christ is expecting of us, that we'll fall in line with that when we think about the church. And hope you got that sense of idea about that. This, we want to be the church that Christ wants to be.
Yeah.
I think in this day and time, Christ is looking for a healthy church. Healthy church. He said, if our church is healthy, he'll add to the church. That's how he builds. He adds to healthy churches. Amen. People that he wants to use in his kingdom. And he wants to be developed. Amen. So they can go out and make impact. So we want him to add to our church. And in order for him to have, we have to be a healthy church. We have to be a church, amen, who knows that we want the church is built by and belongs to Christ. And we have what we need for victory. We have to be a church where there's unity, where there's people involved in ministry,
yeah,
where we are coming to maturity.
Yeah.
And we have to be a church where there's purity. If we are that kind of healthy church, the Lord will add. Amen. The Lord will add in any situation and any circumstance if we are the church. And I just don't mean adding numerically. I mean growing us to be the people that he also growing us to be the people that he wants us to be. And giving us ways to impact the world. But if you read the book of Revelation where churches did not come into line to what God wanted to be, he said, I'll remove your candlestick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You won't have the power to be a light for me and to draw people to me anymore.
Sure. Sure.
Because you decided to make your church rather than my church.
Amen.
We have to make a decision, each of us, on behalf of that Savior. Hey, I want that Savior to be a healthy church. What's my part in that? I have to be a healthy member of the church. Because if I'm an infected member,
come on.
If I'm unhealthy member, that unhealthiness and that infection spread through the whole body.
Yeah.
That's all. That's that. I didn't want to end on that, but I just want to say it because this is our year. Amen. We've been through a lot. We want to start building back, becoming what we were before, and even more that God wants us to do. But we got to first focus on being healthy members and make our whole church a healthy place for people to come and become all what God would have them become.
Amen.
I hope you're joining me in that. Say, hey, we want this to be that kind of place. If we can do it. We can really do it and make an impact in this community for Christ. Thank you again for coming. Be prayerful this week. Let's be prayerful. Pray for our nation. I wish the president or somebody higher up and say, hey, we just have a day of prayer for this pandemic thing. We need a day of prayer. We need at least a day of prayer a year. Well, I ask all the time. I think the first year they had, but we ain't had too much lately when we heard that. At least I have when we were praying. But the whole church, each individual church was praying, but I think that's all. The best way to deal with this thing, yeah, we need mass and all the baptism and all that stuff to do. But all the churches that come together and pray, it'll make so much more impact. It'll make so much more impact. But as individuals, I guess we can pray as individual churches. But it would be good if we'd all come together on one day and just pray, on one day a month and just pray. Say, this is our prayer day every month. We're praying for God to heal our nation. Like I said, my people sing my faith.
Yep.
Amen. You call them.
Yes.
Amen. And straight away is out.
Yes,
and I hear him from heaven and I hear the name.
Yes.
Oh, that's what he said, brother. He didn't get the formula.
Amen.
We just don't want to take the formula.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't get the formula to overcome. But we just don't want to take the formula. So keep that in mind and be grateful for your family, for your little people you come in contact with. Hey, this is every pastor in the parlor, or many pastors the same thing, and I'm probably the same on a constant basis. But let's be praying for our country become better. Not our country, just the world become a better place.
Lord,
and then we're going through so much war, discord, and disunity.
Lord, have mercy.
There's so much stuff going on right now. Stock market falling, people losing money, losing jobs. But we have decided to follow Jesus. Come with me. We'll trusting in Him.
Yes.
You're trusting in Him because He will always make a way. So have a great week now. On the evil day, keep us from presenting without problems our Father's throne. Love God our Father, with Jesus Christ our Lord, through the Holy Spirit our comfort. Rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all sing together. Amen. 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 Have an amazing week. Have a week full of abundant days. The days of abundant life.
Thank you.